This is a podcast from One West. The subject today is subject access requests. I've got Joe Buchan with me to tell us all about them. Hello, Joe.
Hi, John.
So, Joe, what exactly is a subject access request?
A subject access request is a request for information from an individual.
I see. And what form might it arrive in? Post? Email?
Yeah, so when you're doing your everyday work, you might come across a request through email for information about that person. It could be through a complaint or you're dealing with a situation. So, you know, that person might just ring in or will just write in and just ask for some information.
I'm with you. And can it be done purely verbally?
No, it has to be in writing, and that information in writing should come into the organisation.
With you. Okay, what sort of organisations does it apply to?
A subject access request applies to absolutely every organisation that holds information about individuals. So it could actually range from large organisations like the council, schools, through to shops on the high street.
So pretty all-encompassing then?
Absolutely. So your traders who have got people working for them, so you might not have a shop front, but you're actually trading and you've got employees, they're also affected by subject access requests.
And presumably when somebody does get in contact by email or whatever, they won't necessarily say subject access request. It must be really important to recognise what it is.
Yeah, so what you need to have some vigilance around any correspondence coming in from customers or clients, because it could be quite subtle about asking for information. So an example could be, could you just tell me or could you just send me all the emails I've sent in the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks or longer?
Okay, and can a subject access request come from inside as well as outside the organisation?
Yeah, so within the organisation, it could be from an employee who wants to look at some of their information that you're holding on their HR file. So yes, within the organisation, definitely.
And when a SAR comes in and you've got a request to respond, when does the clock start ticking and how long have you got?
The clock starts ticking from the day after you receive that information or that request. So you've got 30 calendar days from the day after the information comes in. So if it came in on the 2nd of April, the clock doesn't start ticking until the 3rd of April.
Okay, it's still quite a short timescale. Are there any extensions on time allowed, like where a request is really big or complex?
There is, but what you might want to do first of all is perhaps get clarification from that individual before you're looking at extending it. But you can extend up to 2 months after the initial month, but that is in cases where it's really complex. It's going to take a time to get that information.
I'm with you. So let's say I'm working in a school, a care organisation or something like that, and I get a subject access request. What do I have to do next?
What you have to do is you have to make sure you record any information requests that you have coming into the organisation. So you really need somebody looking out for that and perhaps have a dedicated person looking after that. You can set it up using just a normal spreadsheet on Excel, but you do need to have the date it comes in, the person who's asking for that information, and perhaps little bits of comment about what they're really requesting, and then some scale of how long it might take you and when it's completed, the date it gets completed.
So it sounds like it would be a good idea amongst everything that one might hold on a person to find out exactly what the requester wants. Is that okay? And how might you do that?
Yes, absolutely. The advice I would suggest is that if a request for information comes in, you really need to make sure that you understand fully what that person is asking you. And don't be afraid to go back to that the inquirer to say, is this what you want? Or can I just get clarification on exactly the time period that you're asking for? Or if it's a subject, it may well be, if we go back to the employee, it could have well been a personal interview and they want to know, you know, why they were not selected for that interview. Maybe they're asking for information on the scoring. Just be a bit more specific.
So it sounds like you would always advocate considering homing in on what's really wanted.
Yes, because you do not want to waste time. You've only got 30 days really for a information request. So the recommendation is, if you're not sure, if it's not clear on the request, go back to that person and just ask them. They're probably more likely to respond and say that's great, because you're going to give them the information they want at the end of the day.
Absolutely. So if we think of a subject access request as essentially a request for data, what form might that data be in?
Okay, so data is considered whatever. So you may have a string of emails, you may have paperwork also, and there's CCTV, telephone calls. If you're recording telephone calls, that's also data. So you've got to be careful. Again, look back at the request. So an example could be the person's phoned into your contact centre, is not happy with the service and wants to listen to that call.
And does it even apply to things stored personally, even at home?
Yes, it does. If it's actually involving that individual and it's part of your job and you've made notes, so it could be a manager making notes in their notebook of a recent one-to-one with an individual, that is all classed as data and should be disclosed.
Okay. If the subject access request comes from within the organisation, what sort of things might then be included? You know, I mean, things like performance reviews and one-to-ones?
Yes. So when you are looking at a request from an employee, and if you are the organisation, you do really need to see exactly who that person might have been reporting to. Have they collected any information about that individual? It could all well be disclosed as data.
And are there any exclusions on data that can be passed across? And what about if the data, for instance, talks about other people?
Yeah, so again, we keep going on about it, but it's very important that you have to be clear of what that person is asking for. And also, you need to only promote that information to that person for their own individual data. So if it's got a conversation in the email about another person or another officer, then that should really be redacted. And what we call redacted is where you will not disclose that information. So it could be a email that you blanket out, but we can come on to that in a moment.
So if I understand it correctly, a redaction is basically a filter applied to the data requested. So tell us then, how do you go about redacting?
So first of all, the top tip is to get all the information that you could possibly have on that information request. Once you've got that information in front of you, what we call redaction is where we're making something not visible to the person who's going to receive it. So it could be that you highlight it, but our recommendation is that you use a piece of software. So you can use PDF format, but what you will do is put a thick black line, so you get rid of the words that you don't want to disclose, and you save it as a separate copy. Do not think that you can send out the redacted copy. You need to save it as a separate file. Send that out, because some people do have mechanisms of trying to undo your redaction.
I see. It sounds like a big job. What sort of scale can we be talking?
Well, it depends on the information that that person's requested and how much you hold. So record retention is obviously something that you really need to think about on this. But on this particular example, you could have a couple of reams of paper if you've printed it off. It could be hundreds and hundreds of emails. So don't underestimate how long it might take you to go through all of that and pick out individual information from each piece of paper.
So because it's a big thing, do people use professional organisations to do it? It doesn't sound like someone processing an SAR wants to get it wrong.
No, you do not want to get it wrong. And One West can actually help you do that. So we can put officers in front of that subject access request and redact it for you. And you can actually see the actual end result, but we would do that work for you.
And once all the work is done, do you have to print it off, or can it be supplied in different ways?
The recommendation is that if the person has emailed the request, then your response will be through email. And it should be really through a secure network. There are products on the market. One comes to my mind as Egress. But again, using One West, we can do that for you. If the person wants it in hard copy, you will have to print all of that and send it to that individual through registered post with a signature at the end of that.
I'm with you. And do you have to keep copies of everything before and after the redaction has been done?
Yes, you do. You do have to keep copies, because it's important, because the person themselves may complain to the information commissioner's office to say that you haven't basically given us all the information. So keep a copy of what you had originally and keep a copy of what you've sent out.
And so once all is done, is it possible that there'll be some challenge, or is that it?
No, there could be some challenge by the individual if they feel that you're redacting something, you know, that you're keeping something from them. That really goes through the Information Commissioner's Office.
How do you reduce the risk of that?
So reducing the risk of the challenge is really making sure that you disclose the information that that person is asking and making sure that you've redacted it correctly.
So thanks, Jo. That's a really excellent summary of subject access requests. I guess with these, that as people are wanting more information, they're going to become more and more common. But from what you've told us, as long as organisations adopt a sensible approach to answering them, it can be dealt with in a way that's okay for everyone. Look out for our other podcasts. Hope you enjoyed this one. Thank you for listening.